And Stan is next.
Better than me.
Stan? You need to unmute yourself, I think, Stan.
Hear me now?
Yes. Now can
you hear me? Hi. You know, we have a lot of differences among ourselves, both the board and listeners, but I thought we all agreed strongly on the need for unionization, and it's a good thing, even though I don't always agree with all the twists and turns of the union leadership, but I'm glad that most of the paid staff are members of the Communication Workers of America. So in view of that, I was a little surprised, and surprised nobody responded, when Quincy McCoy said that that all staff members, whether unpaid or paid, were at-will employees that could be dismissed at any time without cause. That is not, that's one of the key things that distinguishes union from non-union workplaces, is that union members cannot be dismissed without cause. They're not at-will employees. There's a grievance process if they do get suspended or dismissed. There's a progressive discipline process. Christina, you know that very, very well. I was a former president of CWA local. So I just would, I know people don't really respond to questions here, but I wish somebody would respond to that, because that was a gross misstatement. Unfortunately, it's probably true for unpaid staff members because they have next to no rights at this point in time. However, for paid staff members, they cannot be dismissed without cause. So I really hope there's a correction to that. And, oh yeah, one last point. I wish some programmers who mentioned the network-wide vote on the bylaw amendments and promoted people voting for it would have mentioned that it lost 2-1. I'm very glad it did. I can't help but think that if it would have won 2-1, they would have made a point. But so far, I haven't heard nothing on the air about that. So once again, union members cannot be dismissed without cause. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a point of interest, he was reading from the book, and I think that needs to be corrected, Stan. Thank you for bringing that up, because the book is inaccurate in that overbroad reach. Emma Auer?
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, so I just wanted to give my comment about the current programs and my concerns when it comes to raising money for KPFA. So hello, my name is Emma Auer. I am 24 years old, and I've been a lifelong resident of the Bay Area and a frequent listener to KPFA. Whether tuning in on a whim or listening to scheduled programs such as Africa Today, hosted by Walter Turner, I have found these diverse programs to be engaging and enjoyable. As an Indigenous woman, I highly value programs such as Bay Native Circle, which highlights Indigenous voices, songs, and stories. And this is a huge deal to be able to hear Native languages and experiences on radio today. It is quite extraordinary. I know I didn't have anything like this growing up. So this is very special and important to me. I believe it is imperative to maintain these programs. And as a listener, I would feel misguided and discouraged to hear these programs interrupted by advertising to drive profit. And I believe it would dilute the message of the program and the mission of KPFA as a whole. I would like to thank you all for your time here today and all the work that you are doing. And that is the end of my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Emma. And Susan Scott? Susan Scott? You have to unmute yourself, Susan.
Mute.
There you go. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm trying to get my picture up, but that's not happening. Anyway, I am a longtime listener and supporter of KPFA, and really appreciate KPFA more than ever right now, and very much appreciate the work that you're doing to keep things happening during coronavirus. And I just want to agree with Carlos that a lot of us who are longtime listeners and longtime appreciators of KPFA really want to know what's happening. And so I would really appreciate it if there were, if you could figure out how to put in a program that dealt with governance and media and just media, you know, how is KPFA and other progressive media organizations dealing with the current situation, and I'm particularly, of course, concerned with the governance of Pacifica. And I think, you know, there's like only 60 people on this call and most of them are from the LSB. This is the first time I have ever attended an LSB meeting. And it's wonderful. It's so great that you're having these digital meetings. So maybe this could be expanded to bring more listeners in, because it would really be good to get some more ideas of what people want. How are we going to get the information out about what's going on KPFA and Pacifica? So I appreciate greatly that you're doing this. And I also want to say that I'm a little skeptical about the Pacifica National Board, having worked on the 2001 listeners lawsuit. That's one of the reasons why I've been concerned about this and following it.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your suggestions and we'll take them to heart. I think Steve is next, or is it Diane? Diane Harrison. I'm sorry. Diane Harrison is next.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Yes, I'm also a longtime listener. Two of my comments I put in chat. One is I had volunteered to be somebody who would be at home and could take calls for the fundraising before it started, and sort of got the response that it was going to be a call center instead. And so I'm just wondering, wouldn't it raise more money if it were volunteers taking the call? So that was my question. Number two is on pledge gifts, I'm just thinking that they do influence people to donate. So I think taking them away is going to reduce donations from those people who do look for the pledge gifts. And then the third thing is the people I voted for the board this last time, it was based on some of their positions. So it kind of bothers me to see that people are being kind of shunted aside and said, well, just do fundraising. Don't try to influence programming. Don't try to influence things. And that wasn't the reason that I voted for them. So those are my three things. And thank you very much for having the Zoom meeting. I appreciate it. Bye.
Thank you, Susan. And Steve is next.
I'm not Susan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
Sorry. Thank you very much, Diane.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm Stephen Martin. I've been a listener off and on since 1971. And I just wanted to call in to support the management and staff. I think that KPFA is an really important asset to the community. And one thing I've heard, that there's some controversy about the COVID-19 coverage, but my impression has been that it's positive. I'm glad that it's being covered, and I think it's being covered competently. And the only fly in the ointment, in my opinion, is what everybody else is talking about, which is that a lot of the time you think you're contributing to KPFA and actually you're contributing to WBAI. So, it'd be really great if we can find some way of loosening those ties. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Beth Keene is next.
Okay, am I on?
You are.
Okay. Thanks so much for having this meeting. It's been very interesting. I really enjoyed Quincy's report. We are so lucky to have him. I'm a long-term KPFA supporter. I donated every year for many, many, many years before my hair was gray. And, but I first became concerned 2 years ago when I heard that there was some big national, multi-million dollar national loan that they had to put up the KPFA building for. And I'm like, what? I remember hearing that thinking, this is crazy. And I couldn't really believe it was true. Well, it turns out it is true. And that loan was made 2 years ago. And now 2 years later, there has not one dime been paid toward paying off that loan. The loan, $3.2 million, is due next April. And there's no plan to pay it off. I don't understand this. I'm with Quincy. It's like, this doesn't sound good to me. And I wanted to understand that. Why is that happening? Because I love KPFA. I think Pacific is fantastic. I think we need 5 strong stations, et cetera. Now I hear that the national board wants to confiscate KPFA's assets. This is also outrageous. And apparently it's to pay WBAI's debts. And what I want to understand is that we have, KPFA has 4 people on the national board. 3 of them were vocally against this motion, but one of the our people who are there representing KPFA listeners, Tom Voorhees, I've not met you, but Tom, I want to understand from you, I want you to explain to me and to the rest of us why you think it's okay for the other stations to confiscate KPFA's assets without their agreement. I want to hear from you today. I don't want you off the hook. I want you to say you are part of this. I want to understand your position. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Helen D is next. Helen, you need to unmute yourself.
Okay, here I am. I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you. I've appreciated the meeting this morning, and I just wanted to state that I'm pretty happy about the way things have gone in recent years at KPFA. I think under the direction of Quincy, I feel that stability has returned, and that, you know, programming choices are always going to be contentious, but a board is not the place to be hashing that stuff out. It really is. I mean, people who don't know what a nonprofit board's responsibilities are really need to get some board training. In my opinion, the management's been really visionary, also in using podcasts and moving to more streaming format kind of things. It's a way that we can share our the best program of KPFA. We can send links to people so that they can watch it later or listen to it later, and I think that's a good way to build the audience. I encourage other people to do that. I also feel that I'm very concerned that we will lose KPFA if we support the bad decision, if we just lay ourselves open to these bad decisions. I would also like to hear why an LSB board member or a member of the national board is actually approving of such an idea. It doesn't make sense to me. I think that we need to build a future for that makes KPFA's strength an enduring asset. We need to safeguard our building and our resources so that we can weather these times and contribute positively and responsibly to the network from a position of strength.
Thank you, Helen. Appreciate your comments. Raleigh? McLemore.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm a longtime listener, and I have the privilege of listening to KPFA when I visit my family in Houston and Los Angeles. So it's a very eclectic group, and I don't always listen to everything because I don't always agree with everything, but I love that it's out there. Okay, having said that, I really liked what Quincy said. I don't know Quincy, never met him. In fact, I'm totally new in involving myself in KPFA. I've always felt like it was like murder hornet's nest, kind of like too many things going on there. But here's what I think. I think it needs to be audited. I think KPFA has to really know what the money situation is before we make decisions. And I don't think the auditing is going very well if the, National Public Broadcasting, what's it called? Corporation for Public Broadcasting is reconsidering the $1 million it donates. That's equivalent to, according to my calculator, $40,025 subscriptions a year. That's a lot of subscriptions to be putting off because we're not sure of how we're spending our money. So I think we need to pay attention to where the money's going. And in that way, I think that the business model would apply. I think a lot of other ways it doesn't, but I think Quincy's doing an incredibly stand-up job. If we don't have a timely audit and we're losing this money, then all the other thing about fundraising and bits and pieces, as good as it is, we're missing a huge chunk of money that we should be getting that's equivalent to way more than that. The main thing is that now I'm a paying member, and I like to think the money's being shepherded. It's a nonprofit. I know not everything is, not every penny and dime. I don't care about that. But I want to think my money's being well used and put in the right place. I want to see the eclectic programming, and I don't want to see decisions being made that I'm not really part of. I want WBAI to succeed. I really do. I look forward to visiting New York and hearing it. I just think that this sounds like, it sounds like taking a loan, the kind of loan we did was a terrible mistake. And it sounds like the kind of loan that KPFA has warned people against in the past in its own, all through the 2008 thing. Over and over again, we were warning people, be careful of these balloon loans. Be careful of these loans. And now we've taken one out. We should listen to our own programming more, maybe. But in any case, I want to thank everybody here for working. You guys are doing an incredible job. I really haven't helped. I'll try and do more to help, I promise. Please pay attention to the money, because it's shareholders, it's really shareholders that help shepherd these ideas out into the air. And you have to do both. You're going to have to play the piano with both hands. We have to have the ideas, and we also have to have people who trust what the decisions are. Thanks for hearing me out, and thank you guys for doing a really yeoman's job doing this. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Jeremiah?
Hello, do you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, my name is Jeremiah. I'm a 32-year-old lifelong Bay Area resident and Berkeley graduate. I just wanted to sign into this meeting today and voice my support for the shows that have kept me listening. I've been tuning in to KPFA for at least 7 years for Walter Turner's show Africa Today, since he was my teacher and turned me on to the station. Since then, the shows I found indispensable to my listenership that set KPFA apart from other stations I could listen to would be Letters in Politics by Mitch Jezerik and A Rude Awakening by Sabrina Jacobs. These are the shows that I find important and keep me listening, so I thought it important to call in and voice my support for them. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Jeremiah. And that is, I guess we have Daniel Mayfield.
Hi, this is Dan. I've seen what, at least I believe to be the figures showing the payments from the various local stations to the national organization. I believe that what I see when I look at that is that KPFA is doing very well. Obviously what I see when I look at that is I see that WBAI in New York is not doing very well. I understand that we're part of a national organization. I get that. But I strongly oppose sending the money that we've raised here at KPFA, to bail out WBAI in New York. I think it's an example of some bad, programming that they've been doing there, but we can discuss that another time. And I believe that if local members here knew that our money, our building, etc., was on the line to bail out WBAI, that fewer people would be donating here, and we need to keep that in mind as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Carlos, you wanted to comment again?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to take a few more seconds. The last point I wanted to make, and I ran out of time before, was I know there are strong disagreements in KPFA. There have always been. I'm going to beg you all to remember the ideals of this organization and not make those disagreements personal. I know that those kind of things and personal attacks run down people and people end up leaving. I have some political experience in Latin America, and I have seen very good intention, progressive people kind of destroy each other. And we never, never have to forget the real problem we are facing, which is all this corruption and right-wing aggression towards the society that we are trying to oppose at KPFA. So my request, my reminder, and I said this in 1999 when we were fighting for the station also, is to please remember that we all share very high ideals, never make it personal, and try to come to common agreements to negotiate. I think it's very important. I hate to see people being discouraged and leaving because of those strong disagreements that become personal. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good message. We'll take it to heart. Thank you. And we have, I guess, Jack DePalma wanted, he had trouble raising his hand, perhaps. Dr. Palmer, did you want to say something?
Yes, I did. I don't quite understand how the network got involved in the Empire State Building contract, but I do understand the power of a network. As a union member of the United Federation of Teachers, the American Federation of Teachers, what that gentleman said about what happened in WBAI was the reason why New York State stopped what happened in California from taking WBAI away from local control, which is what LSB meetings are about. The confusion about who pays the bills, some of the people here and there have, and the confusion about who chooses the programming is very common on the LSB in New York City. Because a lot of people think that this is a community radio station. That's not the community that calls in to the radio station I listen to. A lot of right-wing people listen to my radio station. And I've been listening since I'm 16. I had a draft card in my pocket. So I'm not going to go over this again and again and again. But if we pool our money together and we work together to make it work, WBAI, the DC station, the Houston station, I hear is the worst. I know we spend a lot of money here, but they stopped doing that. And I know the transmitter was expensive. This is New York City, folks. But the network is very important. I recommend that you consider a network perspective.
I want to raise my hand again.
Yes, I'm sure you do. And one more thing. One more thing. If the Pacifica guidebook for employees says that that's how you talk about employees or that's how employees are treated, Pacifica, the network, Pacifica should change that. Thank you very much for listening to me. I'm sorry
It's okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling in.
Network.
Okay. Thank you. I think Beth raised her hand again. Is that right? Can't hear you, Beth.
Yeah, I just, I was noticing that there's, over 60 people who've attended the meeting, and that's really heartening to me because I know these meetings are hard to get people to come to, especially on a Saturday. And I appreciate everyone, being here. But I noticed that there are, it looked like there was a name of some of the Pacifica National Board people who were listening in, and I would like to encourage them to give us their thoughts, tell what they think about our station and what's happening nationally. The only one I saw was Lawrence Reyes. I don't know if anybody else is on, but I would love to hear from any national board members who are on this call. Thank you very much.
Christina, I may be speaking out of turn, but I believe Bob Baldock keeps waving at us that he wants to speak.
Oh, Bob Baldock, I'm so sorry, Bob. Yes, please, he was waiting for a while, and I didn't see the hand up, and I was just going down the stack. So, Bob Baldock, you're on, please. Thank you. And my apologies, deepest apologies.
Bob, you gotta unmute yourself, Bob.
Now can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Thank you. Great. A couple of seconds. Over the last 30 plus years with KPFA, I've produced slightly more than 1,000 live public events with authors, with the help during the past two decades, of Ken Preston and a few other friends. These events raised funds for the station invariably and provided desirable premiums for contributors. Many of the events are posted on my website, bobbaldock.com. We're about to resume producing these author events on a virtual platform. I feel exceptionally fortunate during these years to have been working with Quincy, the finest, most truly progressive, most competent manager I've ever known. Props also to Sabrina for her new climate show. Thanks for listening, folks.
Thank you. Thanks for all your work for all the years that you've done that work, Bob. Thanks very much.
Well,
okay.
Back at you.
Thank you. I think that we have one phone number that's, 5658. I'm not sure who it is, but go ahead.
Anthony Sess, former board member, longtime programmer. I was kind of surprised during the general manager's report to hear Quincy say how fast moving radio is, because when I look at the program grid, I see people who have been there for decades and decades on end. And without naming names, some I think have been quite mediocre for those decades and even got paychecks for their mediocrity as well as the airtime. And all this going on while, so I hope I'm wrong, but I look back across the years, as far as I know, there has never been a morning drive host of Chinese, Vietnamese, Filipino, or Japanese ancestry ever, as far as I can remember. That is an incredible oversight, and people may know, I've said it before, Alameda County is now plurality Asian. Santa Clara County, largest county in the region, is plurality Asian. And of course, there are other community groups, the Black community, the Latino community, that need more representation on KPFA in the public affairs area especially. So, thank you.
Thank you. And I don't see anybody else raising their hands. So thank you very much for, are you raising your hand, Tim, or no? No. Okay. Well, thank you. I really appreciate all the public participation. It's maybe a record amount of people that have showed up to comment and stuff. And it's really important that the community come and talk to us and that they can see what we do here. We're all volunteers here. We all give our time, freely. And, we do it because we love KPFA and we really value the work that it does in providing a non-corporate message that is no underwriting. That's really important to all of us here. So thank you very much for showing up. I believe we can move along right now on the agenda. Do we want to, the next one, maybe we could, do people want a break yet, or do you want, to just move on? I guess people who want a break, how about, from the board, the LSB membership, could you raise your hands if you want to take a break now? We didn't have a time certain thing today.
I'd prefer to just plug on through. I mean, most of us are at home. If we need to get a snack or something, we can.
Okay. We'll just go forward then. Thank you. And thank you, Christine, for being the only person to raise your hand. And unless somebody, I put it this way, I can push on through as well as what Tim said. If anybody disagrees with it and thinks we need a break, raise your hand. Now raise your hand.
Christina, if you need a break, you should take it. Otherwise, I think we want
to
go.
I'm fine. I just really want to, you know, and if I have to get up for a minute to go away, I will, but I'm fine right now. Okay.
Well, can I just add, I mean, I understand that we're at home so we can like, you know, turn off the video and do something else, but sometimes you need to take a, you know, to do urgent things or go to the bathroom or take, and I don't personally don't want to miss any of the meeting. So I would advocate in favor of having maybe two, like 5 minute breaks, that's it. And then we come back. So I don't know if you would agree with that, but that's my take on it.
When would it be now or would it be?
I would love to have like maybe even two.
I think that the majority said no and one person said yes. So I think we've got that decision. I mean, we understand Christine, so I don't know what to say.
Okay, well.
And especially since I have to check on my, you know, kids as well sometimes. So just to take that into account.
Just do it.
Yeah, okay, but then I'm missing the meeting as well.
Let's take
the volume.
Let's take a break then.
Let's have five minute break.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not opposed.
Okay. So we'll, it's almost 1:27. Let's be back by 1:35. That gives a couple extra minutes. Is that okay for everybody? 1:35?
Okay.
I'm going to call the meeting back to order. And we are on review and approve January 2020 minutes. So Carol had sent those out. I reviewed them. So do we have, I hope everybody had a chance to look them over. Do I have a motion to approve?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. I guess the easiest way to do this would be anyone opposed to approving the minutes, please raise your hand. Not the minute, yeah. Anybody wants to abstain, raise your hand.
Christine Pepin raised her hand, I think, to not approve the minutes.
Is that,
I have a question, actually. Sorry, I don't know how to,
Okay, go ahead.
About the minutes, when I was reading them, I didn't see a lot of information. So there were some records about who voted, you know, I mean, how many people were elected and who was, you know, the new position, which is great. But for, let me look at the minutes right now. Yeah, there were not a lot of details, if at all, about public comments or the treasurer's report or the PNB reports. So it looks like an agenda more than minutes. So I was wondering whether I don't recall exactly the previous minutes, but I was expecting a little bit more details, and especially for people outside of the LSB who weren't present, who want to learn more about, you know, what's going on in the meeting. So I sent Carol an email about that, but it was late last night, so maybe she didn't have time to review it. But I would have, I would have expected more details about certain minutes. That's it.
I would say that the minutes are an outline, and they're not supposed to be incredibly detailed. I mean, they kind of strike on the highlights. You can always listen to the recording, which is posted up on the website, the Pacifica website, KPFA website. But they're a general summation of what happens. They're not like a novel or something really detailed, because some of them, there's other stations that don't even post their minutes. I've been looking for them on other stations. So I think Carol does a really good job of posting them.
I think in general it's okay, but it's just specifically for instance, items 7, 10, and 11, it's only the name. It's not even like a one-line summary. It's only states, you know, the agenda item. That's it.
So. You're definitely welcome to listen online if you want to hear what the public comments were. I've never seen any bylaws. I've never seen any of the minute, what the comments are. You can, as I said, you can always go online and listen. But there,
what
happened. And if there was a motion, the motion would be included here. So that's generally what encompasses the minutes. That's just the way it's always been. So.
Christina, could I comment?
Of course you could. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to explain that it's problematic and actually legally challenging for us to be trying to summarize or quote people's public comments, and they're too long to capture. So I would not do that, include public comments in the minutes. The other thing is, I mean, we're a committee, and even on national board, when Janet Coburn was secretary, there was a whole months and months when there were no minutes done on the national board, which is actually required. So what I ask of LSB members is, please, if you have something that you would like to have included in the minutes, please send out the edit of that. And I send that out on Wednesdays, and so you can look over it and send me the edits before the meeting, please, so we don't have to use precious meeting time to go over potential edits. Thank you.
Thank you. So the motion's on the floor. We asked if anybody was opposed to approving the minutes, and we had one person say no. Did anybody else want to abstain? Raise your hand if you do. Okay, the minutes are approved. Now we go on to the treasurer's report, and that would be Sharon Adams.
Okay, hi everybody. Okay, I have some remarks prepared. excuse me, sorry. Okay, Quincy has already provided some information about the current financial situation at KPFA, and the fund drive is going well, which is good news during the coronavirus thing. And the bills are being paid, and central services are almost current. Yesterday, I sent out to the LSB members a spreadsheet provided by Pacifica's accounting HR firm, actually, Netta, N-E-T-A, for fiscal year 2019 and 2020. And this spreadsheet shows that some of the stations are showing significant shortfalls. The spreadsheet shows that WBAI owes 290 the $5,000 in unpaid central service payments and owes $76,000 to the Pacifica Radio Archives. These numbers are rounded to the nearest 1,000. Kate, I'm just going to go through some of the numbers. You all on the LSB have received this in document form, but just for people listening. KPFK, the LA station, owes $184,000 in unpaid central services payments. WPFW owes $179,000. KPFA owes $52,000. And KPFT, the Texas station, owes $42,000. That's unpaid central service payments for fiscal year 2019 and 2020 combined. Quincy had said that KPFA is pretty much caught up on central services, so I believe the shortfall shown in the spreadsheet has to do with timing of receiving payments, and this was also generated somewhat earlier. So, but basically, KPFA may be about 1 month behind, or maybe it's just the timing of the So KPFA is basically up to date all the way through May, through April, and only owes for May, which we're in May right now. So basically KPFA is up to date. Just want to make that clear and want to again state that WBAI owes $295,000. This means that Pacifica cannot meet its bills, the bills that are due from the national office. For example, NETA, the HR and accounting firm, is crucial to Pacifica having its financial statements. And Pacifica needs NETA to complete the audits and to provide Pacifica with accurate financial information. The national office pays NETA using the central services payment. And because stations are not paying central services, the national office does not have the funds to pay NETA. And it currently is owing quite a large sum of money to NETA. If WBAI paid its central services payments, there would be more than enough to pay what is owed to NETA at this time and to pay the auditors who are also owed money at this time. Instead of paying NETA, Pacifica management has decided to hire a non-accountant consultant named Tracy Rosenberg to review the financial information provided by NETA. The non-accountant consultant is being paid while Pacifica's actual accountants are not. If the PNB and Pacifica believe that they need a second opinion about NETA's accounting and their numbers, then they should hire an actual accounting firm to review the numbers, and they should not be hiring people without actual accounting qualifications. One of the people that was works for NETA has spoken to the Pacifica National Board. And there was a suggestion. Okay, let me just take a step back here. There was a suggestion from the non-accountant consultant for Pacifica to reclassify the assets and debts of Pacifica. And this is in violation of generally accepted accounting principles. So I'm just going to try to go through it and explain it, and I can take questions afterwards. But as many of you may know, KPFA donors paid for the Nakapon building, which was the building next to the KPFA studio building. The Nakapon building was sold for $1.1 million, and the assets were used mainly to pay off the so-called friendly loan of $500,000 that was organized by Pacifica members mainly out of LA. The $500,000 loan has been described as a bridge loan to the $3.2 million loan, a loan that was executed without a membership vote in violation of the Pacifica bylaws, Article 3, Section 5, which states, quote, all members shall have the right to vote on the sale, exchange, transfer, or disposition of all or substantially all of the foundation's assets. And taking out a loan that encumbers all of the foundation's assets, they needed to take a membership vote, and that did not happen. As many of you may know, the $3.2 million loan was incurred because of WBAI's failure to pay tower rent and a subsequent lawsuit and judgment against Pacifica. Just as a reminder, This $3.2 million loan is due in less than a year and is secured by the KPFA studio building and the KPFA transmitter. So if that loan is not repaid in less than a year, those properties can be sold. To go back. Anyway, the Nakapon building was sold for over $1 million and the proceeds from the sale were credited. This is the accounting part, okay? This is the part where I just want to take a little bit of time here. The Nakapon building was sold for over $1 million and the proceeds were credited to KPFA's books. And this was according to generally accepted accounting principles. So anybody that knows anything about accounting, GAAP, GAAP, those are very standard principles. They're just something that accountants use. That's what accountants have. They have principles. They follow them. So it was booked in accordance with GAAP. And in the same manner, the debt from the WBAI lawsuit over the tower rent was put on WBAI's books, again, according to generally accepted accounting principles. However, the non-accountant consultant apparently didn't agree with accurate financial reporting and has apparently proposed the following, which I do believe the PNB has passed. I think Chris and other PNB members can explain some of this more. But PNB passed a motion to recharacterize all KPFA's assets, in particular the $1.1 million from that sale of the building, as an asset of Pacifica. So even though KPFA members paid for it, the national board has now taken that and characterized it for accounting reasons as an asset of Pacifica, and they also have recharacterized WBAI's debts as Pacifica's debts. And so I want to quote from a statement made by NEDA, a person from NEDA who is a CPA, certified public accountant, and a CAMA, which is a certified management accountant. This person has taken several tests and studied many years to become an accountant. Quote, there is no objective basis to move it, and that's the assets from the sale of Nakapon, to the Pacifica National Office or anywhere else. Also, in doing so, will violate several generally accepted accounting principles, or GAAP, especially consistency and sincerity. Also, doing so would violate parts of the IMA Statement of Ethical Professional Practice. He continued, in terms of accurate recording of interdivisional expenses, this does the opposite of that, and it does not improve accurate reporting. My, and that's his, treatment of this matter is objective. I do not favor one side or the other. I want to do it right. This motion instructs that proceeds of the sale should be moved to the Pacifica National Office, and proceeds were $1.1 million. And that would clearly be a distortion and misleading. That's what our CPA is telling us. So moving on, again quoting him, hope would be that for the board to look at the overall condition of the foundation and work together for survival. And I think this motion, the PNB motion from last week, is really untenable, and especially moving the proceeds or net gain is unsupportable and only serves to mislead the reader. For that reason, I cannot do so, and I would recommend against it. Okay, those were his comments. And just to continue my report, a slim majority of the Pacifica National Board ignored his recommendation, our accountant's recommendation, ignored generally accepted accounting principles, and ignored the advice of people with actual qualifications. So the PNB appears that the PNB is trying to coerce our accountants to violate generally accepted accounting principles. This action could be a potential violation of those director's fiduciary duty towards the foundation. I also want to talk, that's about that part of it. I have several subjects. So the next subject I'm going to talk about is the CARES Act. Perhaps some of you have heard of the CARES Act, which is the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Security Act, which is the act that many businesses are using to get funds to cover their payroll and other certain expenses during this time. Pacifica applied for $1 million in economic assistance under the CARES Act, and Pacifica was in a good position to receive funding, and it would have helped with many of the financial issues facing Pacifica. $1 million, that would have been used to pay off payroll. It could have been, you know, we owe $3.2 million. It would have been very, very nice to get $1 million coming in. I learned from the KPFT local station board meeting that Pacifica has been denied funding under the CARES Act, this $1 million. And the reason for the denial is that one station, WBAI, improperly applied for the CARES Act. Apparently, the interim executive director, Lydia Brazan, told all the general managers that Pacifica was applying for the CARES Act, and she told the GMs that the stations, each station should not apply individually or independently for this funding because it might jeopardize Pacifica's chances. Despite this, it was stated at the KPFT meeting that Berthold Reimers at WBAI applied independently for the CARES Act funding. And now Pacifica has been denied the $1 million of funding under the CARES Act 1. Okay. Apparently, Pacifica is now, that all the money has gone on out under CARES Act 1. So that's gone. That's just goodbye. Now Pacifica is trying again under CARES Act 2. And hopefully, all the stations will actually be able to comply with the requirements that the interim executive director is stating, and they will not apply independently for this. The next subject of my KPFA report, my treasurer's report, is the property taxes, which I wanted to address because it's been coming up over and over. Despite the resolution that I just mentioned before from the Pacifica National Board stating that all debts are debts of Pacifica, which has been passed by the Pacifica National Board, so they claim that all the debts are debts of Pacifica, they are simultaneously trying to say that KPFA owes all of the money for all the attorney's fees incurred due to this property tax issue. So I want to go over that a bit. First, we see there's no intellectual honesty. Okay, come on. If you're going to say all the debts are debts, say all the debts are debts. You know, don't then try to say, oh, all the debts are debts except the ones incurred by KPFA. Go back to KPFA. And now, as far as the property tax issue goes, another person who has been hired by the national office despite a hiring freeze is Janet Cobran. Janet Cobran's name is on the document filed publicly with the California Secretary of State that changed the Pacifica Foundation name to Pacifica Foundation, Inc. The proper name, she has said many times that she was trying to change the name back, and it should have been changed back to Pacifica Foundation. That was her purported reason for doing it. However, Janet Cobran, as secretary of the PNB, missed this detail, despite her alleged attention to detail at all times. She didn't realize that the real name was Pacifica Foundation and not Pacifica Foundation, Inc. And so actually, this is the reason for a large portion of the attorney's fees, because what is happening, it was mentioned before, the bylaw amendment. The bylaws currently state that the name of Pacifica is Pacifica Foundation. End, period, okay? That's what the bylaws state, and the bylaws must be in compliance with the documents filed with the California Secretary of State, which says that the name of the foundation is Pacifica Foundation, Inc. So if Janet Cobran had actually been accurate, and she had just changed the name back to Pacifica Foundation with the California Secretary of State, then the bylaws and the Secretary of State document would be in alignment, and there would be no problem. But they are not in alignment. And it is for this reason that the attorneys are going to court. This is part of it, not all of it, but a large part. The attorneys have to go to court to get a court order to change the bylaws to state that the name of the corporation is Pacifica Foundation, Inc. And that is because it is impossible, essentially, to amend the bylaws because, as you all know, it's extremely cumbersome, requires a vote of the membership, requires approval of all these LSPs. So that is why so many of the attorney's fees are being incurred, so it wasn't even the fault of KPFA to begin with. It was done by management, it was messed up by management, but they're trying to put the debt on KPFA's books. And to reiterate a point that has been made numerous times but seems to fly out of people's minds as soon as the point is made. The PNB directors and specifically Grace Aaron knew about the issue with the delinquent taxes on the KPFA property in 2017, or I forget the year exactly, 2017, 2018, when the Nakapon building was sold. That was part of the title report. It was clearly stated. She knew about it. Grace has written about it. It's a fact. And again, Pacifica Management is the only one that could resolve this issue. KPFA does not have the authority to resolve the issue. And Pacifica Management did not resolve it till it rose to the issue of this crisis where the building was almost sold. So, I just want to say one last comment, which is think about it, people. Why is there so much vindictiveness directed towards KPFA, the most financially viable station within the network? While WBAI is allowed to have ongoing losses of $30,000 each month to not pay its central services, and now to be the reason that Pacifica was denied $1 million in CARES Act funding. I have nothing against WBAI, and I want that station to be a strong component, a strong pillar of the Pacifica Foundation. But we need to understand that we are all in this together. And when that $3.2 million comes due, we're all going up or down together. That concludes my treasurer's report.
Thank you. I'll take questions at this point. Put your hand up if you have questions. Philip? Philip Muldry?
Yes, I want to make a motion.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that in order?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, in response to Sharon's report, which I certainly knew about in advance that something was up, my motion is the motion from the KPFA local station board. The Pacifica Foundation Board shall rescind the recent motion passed on April 30th, 2020 by the Pacifica Board, quote, accurate recording of interdivisional income and expenses management team, Alex Steinberg, Chair, Dwayne Lark, Vice Chair, Grace Aaron, Secretary, Lydia Berzon, IED, unquote. This motion creates a false and misleading presentation of the financial status of both KPFA and WBAI and is in violation of SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, GAAP. The motion was passed against the advice of Senior Controller at NETA, who is a CPA and CMA. We condemn what appears to be a coercion towards NETA employees on the part of the officers who are advancing this false accounting measure, which could present a violation of the NETA contract with Pacifica and cause them to leave. Further, taking this action based on the advice of a non-accountant consultant rather than a professional accountant is a breach of the fiduciary duty of the Pacifica Foundation. This is a violation of California corporate codes. We also condemn the signatory motion passed by the Pacifica National Board of Directors April 2nd and 3rd, 2020, this motion making all officers the interim executive director primary signatories to the financially reckless and aberration of normal accounting practices for corporations. It is also a possible violation of SEC generally accepted accounting principles, rules, and the California codes. That's my motion. Now, I tried to see if I could cut and paste this into chat, but it won't let me cut and paste. So if I have to type this in, it's going to take a while. I'm hoping that Carol can somehow help me with this so I don't have to sit here typing for the rest of the meeting.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Do I have a second on the motion?
Yes.
You second? Okay.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? I guess people should put their hands down who had their hands down before, unless you want to have your hands up about this motion. Okay.
I think those are all new hands. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Donald Goldmacher, you wanted to discuss the motion?
Yes. I would love to discuss the motion.
First of all, it may be two motions, really, because you're addressing two different matters there, even though they're conflated in some way. But what we're dealing with here now, and again, we'll have to ask Mr. Voorhees how he voted on these motions, because these motions put the Pacifica Foundation at risk for absolutely violating the law, number one. The second thing that these motions do is asking NETA to engage in illegal behavior by saying that you can violate general accounting principles and it's just fine. NETA, it should be pointed out to station listeners who are still on this call, is a nationally recognized organization, nonprofit, that provides technical assistance to public radio and television stations in the form of both human resources and financial management. So by asking them to violate the law, you are in effect asking them to come back at us and sue us, or just walk away from their contract with us, because they can't violate the law and carry out their contract for Pacifica. So it shows you not only the recklessness of the current National Board of Directors, but the total incompetence on about what laws require, and that you can't keep breaking the law and keep expecting to get away with it. There's going to be a reckoning here, whether sooner or later, if they continue on this path. And the final thing I will say is to rely on somebody who has no financial expertise, but who purports to have that expertise, when she herself committed a train wreck at the 501c3 organization she still heads up, that used to be a wonderful progressive media organization in the Bay Area, is not only comical, it suggests there's another agenda at work here. I'll just stop there for the moment.
Okay, thank you very much. Frank Sterling?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm probably curious, like the rest of you, if she's unqualified and not an accountant, why she got that position and how she got it, and then why she's not here giving a report on her side of the story. I don't get why, if she's being hired by this and this is all against what's happening, why don't we get to hear all the information? To me, it's kind of confusing. It's like having two separate organizations, but getting a report from one, but not the other. So I don't know this was happening. So kind of new. I think we talked about this in the past or something. But I would like to know why that is happening. Is why would someone put us in illegal to in the position to break the law? Apparently, why would someone do that? And then get voted by the board to go with it too, and we not even get to hear that side of the story. It's kind of like I'm still in the dark on the complete picture. So it's a little kind of out of left field, I guess. So I just wish there was like more conversation, if people know more, like why did this happen? You know, why has this been recommended that we take this action that apparently is not legal? You know, who has those answers?
Well, I will call on myself for a moment just to state that Sharon just read to you what the actual accountant said. We didn't make that up. That's factual. I'm presenting the facts as the accountant saying, this is not right. I don't want to do this. And they voted for it anyway. There is a pattern of behavior on the part of a slight majority of this board of making what I would consider and many others reckless decisions that puts the organization at risk. That's just my opinion. And that the motion makes sense to me.